Hey, everybody, before we start the podcast, we have a special announcement to make.
Ooh, exciting. What is it?
We will be at Anime Dallas 2023.
Oh, is that the one that's taking place November 24th to 26th?
Yes, the Hyatt Regency in downtown Dallas.
Oh, we were just at Anime Houston, and now the fun continues at Anime Dallas.
I think this will be our fourth Anime Dallas.
Oh, we're good friends of ours. We love being there.
Yes. Yeah, so get your Black Friday deals instead of like fighting people to the death at Walmart. Go to all the great vendors they have there at Anime Dallas. The vendors room is always so much fun, and you can buy stuff for Christmas for people.
Come walk off all that Turkey Day food and hang out.
Yeah, we'll be bumping fists and causing smiles, doing our panels, and come to our table, and we will have a whole bunch of fun.
Good chance there's probably going to be candy and giveaways, too.
Yes, we will see you there.
Anime Dallas 2023!
Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the Zudio in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, featuring two guys flapping gums and being chums, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, we have some guests from another podcast.
Some brand new friends, some con friends, and now podcast friends.
Yeah, we're down at NMA Houston, and up to our table came some parents. Not our parents, but they had shirts on that said Gamer Parents. And it said Gamer Parents Podcast.
Yes, very nice eye-catching shirts.
Yes, and we said, hey, man, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, hey, man. What are you guys doing here? And we did like the Spider-Man thing.
Yeah, pointing at each other.
But we're in podcaster form.
But we got to let them talk now. It's Kevin and Joanne.
Yes.
From the Gamer Parents Podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys both for having us. But yeah, like you mentioned, it was really cool running into you guys at Anime Houston. And we kind of walked by a few times and I was like, hey, they're podcasters like us. It's always kind of fun to go and kind of, you know, have a conversation with fellow podcasters and ask some questions of how things work for you guys. So it was a, you know, really neat to run into you guys there.
Yeah. And a lot of the free goodies on their tables.
Oh, yeah. You guys had the swag going as well.
Yeah.
We found that that's easy bait. We were doing a new thing where we were doing a giveaway, but we're always down to have at least buttons and stickers and some form of candy.
Yeah.
The candy was what got me. So it worked. It worked on me. I'm living proof that kind of that stuff works.
The candy was new. The banana Laffy Taffy was a new thing. I said, we need black and yellow candy to go along with our branding. Yeah. And I searched far and wide. I Googled black and yellow candy, literally. And I eventually came across banana Laffy Taffy that they sell separately because it's the best flavor of Laffy Taffy.
That is a weird color combination to find in candy, yes.
But you know what the funny thing is, too, is that our producer, if he was here, he'd be getting on the mic and yelling at us because he hates banana flavor. But tough luck.
But we had fans of banana flavor, and now that's why we're talking to the gamer parents.
Yes.
So I guess right off the bat, this is easy. I guess it is what it says on the tin, but what is the Gamer Parents podcast about?
Yeah, so I'll dive into that a little bit. So we started our little podcast in January of 22.
Okay.
So when, you know, things were kind of slowing down a little bit for us. And
how old was our baby that time?
So we had a little one. She was maybe a little bit over a year.
Brand new baby.
So we got to the point where she was sleeping better and we were like, let's do something else. We're not busy enough anymore, apparently. So we decided we needed to do a podcast, and that was the answer to that. And we, you know, had a few different ideas, things to talk about, but you know, both of us have been kind of lifelong gamers, and you know, we're passionate about that, and we like to play video games together anyway. So let's just talk about what we're playing, and you know, fill people in on stories of our life with little kids. So we'll often kind of share funny stories or silly things that they do, which is just about every day. Let's face it. Kids say the darndest things.
I think I've seen a few videos about that topic.
Yeah. I mean, so it's mostly us talking about, you know, our lives as parents, as well as, you know, our love for video games. You know, that's really the main topic of it. And we do a weekly episode. And then in addition to that, we also do a Twitch stream once a week as well. And I mean, we're talking about the games that we're playing. So then we actually go on Twitch and we, you know, play them and get to talk to some of our listeners that come by for that, which is fun. And Joanne and I, we get to play together. So it's a blast. I enjoy being able to, you know, do this podcast in a live stream with my wife who loves video games too. And doing that together is something that I find special.
It sounds so simple when you say it out loud, but it's really hard to sort of key in on it sometimes. But talk about what you know, talk about what you like, and do it with somebody you enjoy doing it with. So, like, having the wife buddy system there. I'm not married to Kevin, but he is one of my hetero life partners. So
yeah.
I totally get that. And then, like, having the smarts to be like, you can talk about anything, you know, why not make it about something that you're actively going through and that sort of thing. That's awesome.
What made you guys decide to get into the podcast game? Because Mikey and I did it just because we like podcasts. We actually kind of bonded initially over, like, oh, hey, you're listening to this podcast. I listen to that podcast. What other podcasts do you listen to?
Yeah, that was one of our earlier conversations.
Yeah, it was a very early conversation. And then we found out that we're geeky nerds and we were having crazy conversations. And we said, hey, let's make this a podcast. So why did you pick podcasting as your medium? Media?
That's a good question. So I kind of knew we wanted to have kind of some sort of side project to kind of work on together. I didn't know what that was going to be. You know, we've talked about some other things, but then kind of landed on doing a podcast. So I was never really into the podcast world. I didn't listen to podcasts until maybe 6 months before we started doing our own. So it was something that I would never foresaw myself doing. I'm not the most enthusiastic speaker. I usually avoid social conversations if I can get out of them. So me putting myself into a podcasting role was totally out of the norm for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin's pointing at me right now because it's the same treatment for me. I am, given my druthers, I would speak to myself and a couple people around me and that would be my day. But because of the podcast, it's causing me to go on adventures and talk to people and just get outside of my zone and for the better, I would say.
Oh yeah. No, I'm with you there. It's my way of kind of forcing myself to do things that I, at the end of the day, enjoy, but sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle to do. But yeah, I mean, and then, like I said, 6 months prior to us starting is probably when I started listening to podcasts, and I found a few of them that I fell in love with and was like, you know, I kind of envy those guys. They, you know, they are on a podcast with their friends and they're talking about things that they love and building a community and all this stuff that was, I found really cool. And I was like, you know, I want to try and do that too. So kind of merged that idea with doing some kind of activity with my wife. And then, you know, boom, Gamer Parents podcast was born.
There you go. Now, Joanne, were you a podcast fan or is that something you had to take on as well? It was like, oh, I have to learn what a podcast is and we're doing this new thing. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I love talking to people. I'm an extrovert. But when it comes to podcasting and have my voice recorded, I'm like, no.
She's our quality professional here with, you know, in regards to making sure everything is on point and the editing is done perfectly with no issues. She's tough on herself mostly, but it definitely factors into how the podcast comes out.
Yeah. And when Kevin told me that he wanted to start a podcast together, I was like, what? Are you kidding? You don't even want to talk to people outside.
Oh, that's me. But I think you have a little bit of that in you as well. Like, I took her to introduce her to some of my friends for the first time. And, you know, we're talking kind of as we're walking up to them. And then as soon as we get up to them, she's like, oh, man, my voice is gone. I can't talk. And I'm like, you were fine 30 seconds ago. What is this?
It's the other people around laryngitis. I'm quite familiar with it.
The podcast thing was definitely unusual for both of us. But I think it's part of growing as a person and challenging yourself to do things that don't come natural to you or that you maybe aren't the best at, but of course you get there with practice.
Oh, for sure. That was first obstacle for podcast was me. It was like actually having to listen to my own voice for extended amounts of time. I'm like, oh wow, how do other people do this? No, I get it. But props to you, the podcast you guys are making. There's a whole bunch of episodes already out, so I went and sneak peeked a couple of them before I got to talk to you guys, and the quality's there. Props to you for the editing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Can you give any shout outs to the podcast that got you into that gave you the idea for doing your own thing?
Yeah. The two main ones that really kind of made me want to start our own. The first of which is Married to the Games. And it's a podcast. It kind of sounds almost similar to ours, except, you know, it's ours is kind of strictly parents, but mm-hmm. with theirs, you know, it's just four guys who, you know, love gaming, whether that be PC or console or whatever. And they kind of talk about how their lives as well as, you know, the games that they're playing and everything.
Right on.
And theirs is really great. Their production quality is definitely up there. And then the other one that I would also like to give a shout out to is the Good Morning Guys podcast. Theirs is pretty similar as well. It's, you know, just four guys who, you know, talk about games in their lives. It's pretty similar. All three of our podcasts, I think, are somewhat in the same field.
I got you. But I mean, that's because it's part of finding the interest. And there's certain things that people listen to podcasts, there's a good chance they're probably going to be into nerdy things like we talk about or gaming like you're talking about. And if they're our age or, you know, around the age, they're also probably having kids. So you guys are tapping into that market.
Or murder. They might be into murder.
True crime is there. True. So
that's what if Joanne had the choice of topic, that's probably she'd have a true crime podcast.
Oh no, you're a true crime nerd as well.
Yes, I love listening all these murder mysteries, true crime.
Is it because
I go on YouTube for those though?
Is it because of all the details or like what is it? Is it the solving of the puzzle?
Both.
Okay.
I always rate the what do you call it the criminals through their you know like strategy and.
Ah.
How they hide it and how long it takes to be discovered.
but you're the smart one. You're like, if I were that criminal, here's how I'd do it better, right?
Yeah.
Here's how you should have done it.
Okay. Oh, geez, Louise.
You fool. That's how you got caught. You should have done it this way. That's hilarious. I don't know what it like. I don't have that button, that true crime button. Like, I like a good murder mystery, but like when it's real and it's the documented, like, I enjoy a documentary, so I get that side of it. But then they're like, and then they found this body part in this location. I'm like, okay, oh, cool. Yeah. I'm tapped out. Thank you so much. Okay, so we got the podcast origin, but this is the easy transition. I'm fascinated to know the gamer origin.
I thought you were going to talk about their marriage origin.
Well, that too. I have two origin notes and origin story questions in my notes. One is gamer, one is married. So you can pick which one you want to start on.
Sure. I guess I'll start since you brought up the kind of gaming origin first. You know, for me, I was, you know, born in 91. And so for me, like I remember getting a Nintendo 64 for Christmas one year, which was probably the single, you know, one of the best Christmas presents I probably ever got because I kept it for so long and used it so much. And
wait,
it was kind of
were you the kid that was screaming as he was opening it from the video?
Oh, probably. I'm sure I was.
That's old internet meme right there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then that was just kind of ignited my love for gaming. And, you know, I had SNES before that. And the original Game Boy when they weren't even color yet. And if you know, then Game Boy Color, I was also kind of hooked on. But just, you know, I played a lot of games throughout the years, pretty much ever since I was, I don't know, 6, 7-ish.
There you go.
And, you know, I kind of, when I was younger, I thought, you know, my gaming days are numbered. You know, once I grow up, I'm going to be an adult and I'm not going to like this stuff anymore. And then that day just never came. Obviously I became an adult, but I never kind of walked away from gaming or all of the nerdy stuff that I still love today.
Yeah. No, I can dig it. And as a fellow Nintendo kid, I salute it. I went that path. I guess it was more my parents' choice because I was kind of like, this is cool. Like I didn't have too much agency when it came to it, but mm-hmm. I was a Nintendo kid and I think that was the cooler choice. But
your parents nice. Chose the console that you had?
Not really, wow. But like, I mean, they were the one buying it. They were the adult.
Oh,
like
I see.
I was a tiny child going, I would like video games. And they were like, we picked this up at the store. Is this the one you want? Is this,
oh, I see.
Is this the game station with the Sonic Stars, you know, Sonic yeah. Mario Party? It's like, that's not how it works. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I had everything. I'm old. You guys are babies over here.
Yeah, we started on consoles. You started way before us.
Yes. I started with an Atari. One button, one stick. That was good enough for me, kid.
No, I get it, though. But that is telling of a generation, because like other Kevin was saying, I don't know. Sorry, we have two Kevins.
Other Kevin.
So by default, I'll say guest Kevin. There we go. guest Kevin said, is that it used to be a thing, like gaming was a childish thing. It was a toy.
Yeah.
And now it's like an industry. And it, not really now, like within the last, you know, decade, couple decades. It doesn't seem like you have to put it away as a kid's thing, which is interesting.
It makes
like,
more than movies.
It's a legit hobby. There's competitions and stuff. So I find that interesting that you say it that way, because like I also had a similar expectation. It's like, oh, you know, game now while you're a kid, and then it's off to suit and tie world and no more video games ever again for some reason.
Right. Yeah. And I think one thing in gaming today is you're so connected with other people, and you can join these kind of gaming communities, you know, and you can play games with people who, you know, maybe you fit in with. We used to play a lot of World of Warcraft, and we were part of a guild with another group of other players who were, most of them were also parents themselves. And so we were kind of dealing with a lot of the same things. And this was before we ever started our podcast, but just the fact that, you know, you can kind of find your clan, and people who are like you and play games together.
Yeah.
What about you, Joanne? Have you been a lifelong gamer?
Yes, I have a big brother who is 4 years older than I am.
Oh, right on.
So he was the one who introduced me to gaming. Mostly computer games, because we didn't have a console growing up. We'll play consoles at our friend's house.
Yeah, but... yeah. That's how I got to play Sega consoles, was because of my neighbors. My neighbors were the Sega kids and I was the Nintendo kid. And then it just like, okay, we'll just take turns at each other's houses.
There you go. That's how to do it.
Yeah.
So it was PC gaming for you? Is that something you stuck by, or are you...
Yes, I still love PC gaming.
I think you are more. I mean, we, like, now that we have our own hobbies and everything, we, as far as gaming goes, we kind of have everything. We each have our own PCs, and we have a PlayStation and a Nintendo. So we kind of have our options now a lot more than when we were kids, but she still definitely gravitates towards the PC gaming side. I'm kind of half and half, honestly. I kind of try and take it all in as much as I possibly can.
There you go.
Yeah. That begs the question, what is your the war versus PC gamers versus console gamers? Where do you guys fall in that war? Because we are like, why not? Por qué no los dos is what we say a lot on this podcast, which of course in Espanol means why not both?
Why not both?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Especially now that time and availability, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's always my answer to that question as well. When people ask, oh, are you a PC gamer or a console gamer? I'm like, I'm both. It's whatever. However, certain games I like to play on PC, certain games I like to play on console. Obviously, some games are PC only and some games are console only. If you are able to do both, then yeah, why not?
Like racing games, I prefer console.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But fighting games with a lot of buttons, I prefer the PC.
There you go.
Okay.
Have the keyboard keys all closer together. I like that.
The issue I always had with PC gaming is just is keeping up. Because I always like to build my own PCs. And then, you know, I'm technically a gamer parent too. But my kids are almost 18 now. I used to build my own PCs, and then the kids came around and I was like, I have twins right now. I can't afford to keep up, you know, with the latest, and greatest. Cause I mean, it's an arms race basically trying to keep the latest video card going. And I just couldn't.
Oh, it's impossible with how fast they come out with things. There's, you know, always something newer and better right around the corner.
So consoles, my argument is consoles are good for like that. I was able to stay into games and gaming as a parent because of consoles.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's a whole lot easier just to have the console. You know, you're good for a few years. Then the next one comes out and you get that one. And then, you know, easy peasy. So it's a convenience thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in the heyday of like Super Nintendo and like Nintendo 64, because like, they kept that market open for those consoles forever.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you still have this console? Okay, we'll keep making games.
They're doing the same thing for the Xbox, sort of.
Yeah.
So that's And that's what I'm still carrying an Xbox One around with me. But trust me, once the kids are through college and I don't have to pay for anything anymore, I'm going back to building a PC with all kinds of neon and fans and all kinds.
Ooh,
I was getting close to having a water cooled one. That's where I was. That's where I was at before the kids were born.
That's high end.
Yep, get a proper battle station, as they say now. Mm-hmm. So is that what you guys are doing your streaming on? Are you guys doing PC streaming, PC gaming streaming?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So our streaming, we just do that. Something that's really kind of propelled that forward for us is something called Game Pass. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's ran by Xbox. And it's essentially your Netflix version, carry over of, but for video games.
Yeah.
You pay a subscription fee and you have access to hundreds of different PC games. Yep. They also have that for the Xbox console as well, but that way we pay our subscription fee and then we play a different game every week if we wanted to, and then we never run out of material to stream.
Oh, that's awesome. So that leads me to wondering, how do you pick? Do you go by personal preference as far as what you're going to game on next? Or are you like trying to read headlines and seeing what's trending and checking out what people are talking about? Or
a little bit of both. I mean, it depends. I mean, obviously we choose things that we think we would enjoy. Mm-hmm. Usually that's something that's going to be a co-op that we can play together, because that's kind of the whole point. a lot of times it's something that's new or just came out, but not necessarily because we're trying to be trendy or kind of want to be playing what everyone else is playing. Gotcha. But usually that's kind of just what catches our attention the most, I think.
That's the way to do it. I like to hear that, because that's how Mikey and I are with the stuff that we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't follow trends people are like, why do you guys talk about Star Wars so much when you're not a Star Wars podcast? And it's like, because we like Star Wars a lot, but we don't want to be just a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
So deal with it. It's our podcast.
No, we've come across games that sometimes we'll spend like multiple episodes talking about. And I'm like, who knows? Maybe we're going to be a podcast for this game going, because like, we'll just talk about what we like and what we enjoy. And sometimes that's probably longer than it should be, but we enjoy doing it. And so that's just the way we are going to do it.
Yep. That's the way you should do it. I support you guys in that endeavor. That's the way you should do it.
That's also nerd brain for me, though. Like, you start into a thing and you're like, oh, there's multiple levels to this and I can mine this for information and trivia. Then let's go. Bring it on.
Mm-hmm.
Let me dive as far into this as I can get. Oh, you said co-op. So, hot take, what's your favorite co-op? And you can have a different answer, but ideally if it's the favorite co-op, it should be the same answer for both of you. No. I have a favorite co-op answer, so we'll see how they compare.
I think one that stands out for me, and I'm only going to say this because it was the first name that kind of popped in my head when you asked that question.
Yes.
But there's a game called Overcooked 2.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
Heard it and played it, but for those that haven't, please tell a little bit about it.
Yeah. So it's a co-op game where you can play with your friends or whoever, and you're essentially a little cartoon character and you're cooking in this kitchen and different orders will come up and you have to cook different things and you put stuff in on the stove or in the oven and you got to clean plates and then you got to get back to the stove and make sure things don't burn. A lot of times
everything is timed and everything has a clock to it. So you're on the clock just like a real kitchen.
Yep, and you're running around as fast as you can trying to get the tasks done and you're trying to think ahead, what are you going to do next when you're done with this one? And you try to divide and conquer with who's doing what. And sometimes the game forces you to like really rely on each other. Mm-hmm. And just the whole panic of the whole timer counting down constantly, it creates a lot of funny situations, where we're kind of like, we're trying so hard to get through something or pass a level. So it's fun. It was fun.
We burned so much food.
We did. We burned down a few kitchens.
It's a possibility. It can be overcooked. It's right there in the title. But props to you, because at certain points that game can be a relationship tester. So
exactly. We're still here together. Yes. So yes. We passed that one.
You survived the game. That's awesome. Kevin, do you have a other Kevin? Sorry, my Kevin, not guest Kevin. Assuming Kevin, do you have do you have a co-op vote?
I have lots of co-op games just because I had twin boys.
Oh, that's
and
true.
As soon as they could hold a controller, I shoved it in their hands. And so, I mean, we played tons of co-op from the... They loved playing the Lego Star Wars game a lot. But I think we have the most stick time, the three of us, behind Minecraft.
Oh, just, Minecraft. Just there you
like,
go.
Like Jack Black said, that's playing Legos with your kids virtually.
There you go.
So that's it. But when they got older, we had a lot of fun in Borderlands. Tons of fun. That's a fun teenager co-op game. And just came out is the new Orc game that's on it's on Game Pass.
Oh,
on
okay.
The Xbox. Shoot as Blood and Teeth. Warhammer 40,000, Shoot as Blood and Teeth.
Oh yeah, the Warhammer game. Yeah. That's right.
That game is a blast. It's so goofy.
And it's
so
on Game Pass that they were just talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. Maybe that's our next one we get to try. We're always kind of on the prowl for good co-op games.
Yeah. It's the same at my house, too, because, you know.
I forgot
otherwise,
about that. Yeah.
Otherwise, you get
twin
fights.
Powers, yeah.
Co-op games are like a big player at my house.
And especially with twin boys. It's like Joanne mentioned she had the older brother. I had the older brother. And it was I was always the player, too. Like, sometimes my controller wasn't plugged in. But yeah, with your twin boys, like they know what's up. It's like, No, we both have to play.
Yeah. Wait, your brother would unplug your controller?
I was a little kid, like little kid. Like he would just let me like sit there and play it, like push the button.
Oh, so you thought you were playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's like, you get
the broken controller.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Mad Cat's controller. It's like, yeah, the turbo stuck, but that's all we got.
Or sit and wait your turn.
Yeah. You get to play when I die. It's like, you died like 3 times ago. It's like, no, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so true.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are streaming Minecraft, right? Is that, I saw Minecraft pop up on a couple of your episodes.
So kind of, but not really. Okay. So the game you probably saw was Minecraft Dungeons, which I guess is technically Minecraft.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, it's very different from your traditional Minecraft. It's kind of more like a Minecraft spin on Diablo 3 or something like that. Kind of the top down where you're going through, dungeon crawler type of thing.
Wait, so they made it isometric and everything?
Yeah, it's like Diablo but Minecraft. It's really fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have no
idea. It's really fun.
I love Diablo and a little bit of Minecraft, so okay.
It's a lot simpler than Diablo, of course, but it's still a lot of fun, and it was fun to just jump in and, play together and do the co-op mode. It's really fun.
Do we build anything in there? No, right? It's not a building thing.
No.
Yeah, it's just a dungeon thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Like in Minecraft world.
Everything looks like Minecraft, but it doesn't really play like Minecraft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a top-down.
Interesting. This is the first I'm hearing of it, but I'll remedy that as soon as this podcast is over.
Somebody had recommended it and I was like, I'm not really into Minecraft. And like, no, it's different. Trust me. And so we tried it and loved it.
Right on. Is there anything that either of you, when it comes to gaming, are like, it's an automatic no, or you just are burnt out on it or aren't really fans of? Is there, are you like just fans of whatever comes your way kind of stuff?
I'll answer that one first. And she probably already knows what I'm going to say, but I don't really like scary games or anything in the horror genre.
There you go.
Where Joanne's
like rolling her eyes at you.
Yep. Yeah. Like when I, so sometimes we play a scary game, right? And I don't know if you can see, there's a chair behind us. I'll sit like way over there on the other side of the room, far away. So I can't hear and kind of barely see. So I don't, jump out of my chair kind of thing, which I mean, I could play those games, but I just don't enjoy it. So it's like, I'd rather do something different. Same thing like with scary movies, not really into those either for kind of the same reason, but there's a handful of scary games out there that Joanne's tried a few of them and she likes them and I don't. And
that's the true crime side of her, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. That's the true. They have the true crime side coming out of her there. So we haven't done any co-op games in that genre yet, but that's probably more because of me and less because of her.
You did that by daylight.
That's true. I didn't really consider that like that scary of a game.
Okay.
Mine's more like just tons of jump scares, and literally the whole point of the game is to scare you.
Yeah.
Oh, like Mortuary Assistant.
Yes, like Mortuary Assistant.
Yeah, I love that.
It sounds fun in the title. You get to help out a mortuary. What's that? Can't be scary.
I'm with my brother Kevin over here. There you go. I don't like any scary movies or games or anything like that. It might just be a Kevin thing. They should
maybe
they should do some research. Maybe like they'll find out Kevins don't like scary stuff.
Kevins aren't testing well in the horror demographic. That'd be funny if that was a correlation. I'll pin that for later research. For me, like it's first person shooters for me, not because I'm like anti like Call of Duty Blue, like not any of that sort of like gatekeeping, but it just gets my anxiety going. Like anytime it's first person and I'm like having to like engage with somebody or chase somebody down or not get shot.
Yeah.
It just spikes my anxiety.
Really? What about third person shooters?
Those are fine.
Okay.
Like Tomb Raiders and stuff and Uncharted, fine. But like if it's first person shooter, it makes me so nervous.
So
I don't know what it is.
When you played Red Dead with us, did you put it in third person mode?
Always.
Yeah, you never put it in first person mode?
Never.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
I never put it in first person mode because I spent so much time making the outfit for my character. Why are you going to do it in first person? You can't see it.
Yeah, got to be able to see the character.
Yeah.
What games was it that I was playing that got me like motion sickness?
Yeah, so I think for her, I guess the one genre, I don't know if it's not really a genre, like but I mean it's any game that has like a lot of movement. She'll get motion sickness.
I get you.
Right, so like
Sea of Pirates,
Sea of Thieves,
Sea of
Close.
Thieves.
Oh, there
sea
it of is. Thieves.
Yeah. You are pirates, but you're on a ship, right? And the waves are going, and the ship's kind of going up and down, and then she's getting like real life seasickness.
Oh wow! Here,
playing it through a video game.
It's weird.
It's too real.
It is.
I'm here moving her chair to make it extra realistic. Oh, no, I'm joking.
Just blame it on the kids. It's like, oh, they're behind you and they're pushing on it.
No Assassin's Creed Black Flag for Joanne. That's tons of boat stuff.
I can see that. Though.
There's been a few other games that were, unrelated to, a boating game, but anything that just has like a lot of movement or like sometimes car games even would get you a little motion sickness.
I think the one with the fireman thing, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know why that was. There's one where you play as a firefighter and the fire is kind of all over the screen and maybe it's just too much. But,
I got you.
I was like, just die.
So again, not really a genre, but there's some games where looking at the trailer and I'm like, this might make you sick. It might not be good for you.
Oh, that's like me. I know if I get too into VR, that'll probably happen to me because it happened a little bit with like 3D movies and stuff. So it's like, okay, I might have to test the waters a little bit more carefully on this one. But VR is still expensive, so I got time to figure that out.
It is. We haven't branched out into VR yet. Just one of, I know if we did, the kids would be using it, she'd be using it, and I'd probably be the one to get smacked. I'd get hit somehow.
Well, there you go. Oh, speaking of your kids, though, you said you have, how many, you said kids plural, but you haven't said how many kids.
We have two kids. We have a daughter who's 3 and our son is 5.
Oh, delightful.
Oh, yeah.
And do they ever get an audible appearance on the podcast? Are they howling in the background?
Usually no. So normally we do everything after the kids go to sleep when we can actually both break away. Otherwise, leave a 3-year-old by herself, she's bound to get into trouble. Mm-hmm. So typically no. We have had our son do our intro for us once. It's kind of like a surprise. He basically said it the exact same way we normally do, but obviously his voice sounds a little bit different than mine. Other than that, I think that's about it. I think maybe once or twice they've made an appearance on stream.
Oh, I think Faith's crying is in our
Okay, that's true. So for the intro that we use, we kind of go back and forth with like different parenting and gaming quips. And one of them is you have a few seconds of our daughter crying a little bit, right?
Yeah. And Joanne says, baby's crying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like you can't really talk about how our lives go without, talking about crying kids and just the kind of hecticness that goes into being a parent of little ones.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. And because you guys are sort of on the start of the journey. I mean, congrats on the two kids, but Kevin's got twin boys and I work with a bunch of guys that have big families and it seems like there's a competition of like, well, I've had these kids, so here's how we did it. But at the end of the day, it's interesting to see how people come together, like just based on where they are on the parent journey.
Yeah, it's great to come across other gamer parents that are, a lot of them are in this, some pretty similar situations as us. Some of them have older kids, like you, Kevin, or have, you know, even younger than us. And we try to, you know, fill into their lives the best we can as parents. And, you know, we had a friend of ours who just had a baby earlier this year, and it was probably months prior of like, this is what you're in for. We'll try to prepare you for this stuff the best we can.
The support is very important.
Mm-hmm.
The support network.
Yeah. The community. So did you guys like meet in an arcade or something?
I wish, you know, we actually met online, not in a video game, just an online dating site.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months after we started dating, we got married. And then a year later, we had our first kid.
Wow.
And
no time wasted.
So yeah, we were, you know, speed running this whole thing.
That explains the giant clock in the background now. No.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and then that was how many years ago? 6 years ago?
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Oh, there you go. Congrats.
No, super congrats. That's awesome. And that's like another thing, because like it used to be like online dating was the whole like niche novelty thing. And mm-hmm. now it's just like that, because you said it earlier too, like even as like parents or older adults trying to find friends and just people to bond with over games. Like having games there to do that has been such a boon for a lot of people. And so having internet to like meet somebody that you can do a podcast and game with, that's extra bonus.
Yeah.
It's usually by the nature of like, oh, I'm playing this current game, and it attracts certain people. So you find like-minded. I kind of love that.
Are you guys like excited? I know with my kids, I was like just waiting for them to age up to introduce them to certain games. Is that something you guys are looking forward to? Is there stuff you have earmarked that like, oh, when my kid is this age, this is happening?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Our son, he's five, so he plays a little bit of like Fortnite, but he'll just like run around, and then as soon as he gets shot at, he's like, "You take over, Dad," which is, you know, but almost half the game. So like, he doesn't want to do any of the challenging stuff. He just likes to run around and explore. He also is playing a little bit of Fall Guys.
Right? Oh yeah, I've played that before.
I mean, it's kind of your simpler game. It's you know, you have the joystick and you have a jump and a dive button, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And he's getting pretty decent at that. but I wish he could play a lot more stuff with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely can't wait for that time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll have like a mental list of like, these are the games that I want to expose him to and him play. But I also know, you know, when, you know, 5 years from now, when he's probably playing more games than he is now, like, he's not going to want to play those games, right? And they can be like, these are old, Dad.
Right.
He's going to be whatever is coming out recently.
You already introduced him to Pokemon,
too. I did. I introduced him to Pokemon, I mean, I was 8 when Pokemon came to the U.S., so I was like perfect target audience for all of that.
Absolutely.
So between the cards and the shows and you know, the video games and all that, I've started doing this thing with him. I call it the Pokemon of the day, right? So he'll come to me and ask me like, "Well, Dad, what's the Pokemon of the day?" And like, I'll tell him like a new Pokemon. We've been doing this like for a few weeks now, and then I'll show him like pictures of the Pokemon and tell him like what they do and stuff.
That's
like
awesome.
That. And he's eating it up.
That's very sweet.
Which is great, because I always loved Pokemon as a kid, and I still kind of do. And I think it's cool that he does now too.
And your job's easier now, because back in the day, you'd had 151 Pokemon, and you'd run out eventually. You'd be like, "Dad, what's the Pokemon of the day?" It's like, that's all of them, buddy. But now it's like, 700 and something in the current gen or whatever.
Definitely don't know them all. So at some point, I'll need to start looking them up.
It's like, what's the Pokemon of the day, Dad? It's like, I have no idea. Let's go find one. And then you go out to the backyard or something.
Let's make up a name.
Yeah. That's a good bit, though. That's a life bit that happened comes from gaming, though. That's precious.
It's
yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
when I was a kid, one of my fondest memories is my dad and I would collect like the, you know, the old base set cards when they first came out and like try and complete a full set. And, you know, we'd get the cards and open up the packs together and, you know, fill in the binders and, you know, try to collect what we were missing. And that was just, I mean, my dad didn't like Pokemon at all. He probably thought it was the silliest, stupidest thing at the time, but doing it just for me. And that was just like a fond memory that I have that I want to hopefully have something similar to that with my son. Hopefully he actually likes it as much as I did. And I'm not forcing him to do this, but.
For me, it's cosplay.
Yeah. Your dad was planting and fertilizing a nerd seed right there, is what he was doing.
Yeah, without even knowing it.
Yeah.
And helping it grow and giving it water and sunlight.
I'll tell you, as an older gamer parent, it's kind of neat because they will keep you abreast of what's cool, currently cool, as he gets older, as they both get older. And then there will become a point where it'll be the opposite. It'll be like, here, you take the controller, son, because I'm getting my butt whooped. And they'll just be like, why can't you do this? Because I had that whole thing happen when Overwatch came out, and that became the hottest thing. And they got into that, and it was like, it was crazy. I was like, oh, this game seems fun, and I'd like be playing it, and they'd be like, you're really bad at this, Dad. And I'm like, what? Oh man. Yeah. And then
go ahead.
There comes a point, like, you know, we'd play Halo and I'd beat them, and then there comes a point where like they start beating me, and then it just got ridiculous. But I will tell you right now, we can play the OG original Halo and I can still beat them at it. There's something about that old game that they can't wrap their new brain around. I can still beat them. I can beat a couple of 18-year-olds at original Halo.
Because it's OG Halo. They don't know that the pistol is OP. Let's go.
They don't know the pistol.
Pistol was the best.
They don't understand the grenade physics, because the grenade physics don't make sense in the original Halo, but I understand them perfectly. Yeah,
that's true. I can relate to that. I think to that whole thing of gaming with your kids, I think it'll be a pivotal point for me the day that my son can beat me at video games.
Yeah,
because I don't go easy on him on anything. Be like, I crush you. No, but like I don't really let him win on a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be cool when we can play with him kind of at the same level. But it'll probably mess with my psyche a little bit when he's able to beat me at video games. It'll probably happen. It'll definitely happen at some point.
It starts around, like, you know, puberty is around the time when they
get those twitch muscles.
Those twitch muscles. Yes. There's something about the fast twitch thing, or, you know, I don't get it, but man, they become really good.
Okay.
Just naturally.
Here's a dumb question for the table. Is the Twitch service, the streaming service Twitch, is it related to twitch muscles? Like, is that what they're making a joke about?
I don't know.
Anybody? No.
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know where the Twitch name comes from.
Because I'm calling it right now. If it's because of twitch muscles, that's kind of dumb. But not dumb enough that I'm going to poo-poo it, but dumb enough to make me go research it and look it up and be a nerd about it.
Maybe. So, I might Google that and see if I can find the answer to that.
Yes, yeah. We can figure it out.
Yeah.
Now and also the bit I was going to make is that on having children and figuring out your lives and what you're going to show them, because like we talk about that sometimes, like with his boys and like what nerdiness is rubbing off on them. It always seems the case though that the children, you get the children that challenge and the children you deserve. So I'm pretty sure your kids are going to get into whatever the current Five Nights at Freddy's horror game series is.
Oh yeah.
And be like, Dad, I found this new game. You want to play it with me? It's called Hide from the Monster in the Dark. Just teasing.
Yeah, because my kids are into, like, you know, theater and movies, and they're like, we want to be filmmakers. And I'm like, what kind of films do you guys want to make? And they're like, horror movies. And I'm like, oh, great. You're going to be in interviews being like, are your parents supportive? Yeah, very, but my dad won't watch any of our movies.
He goes to all the premieres. He just sits back.
He sits backwards at the premieres. Yeah.
No, they say that here's the trick. Here's a parenting tip as the non-parent here. I don't know why. Allow me to just do one.
You were a stepdad for a while. Come
a little
on.
Bit. I have some tips in there.
Yeah.
But for horror stuff, the scariest part is the sound. So cover your ears if it's ever too much.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to cover your eyes. Don't have to leave. Just cover your ears.
Okay.
Especially with video games and for movies. Mm-hmm. It's all scary because of the sounds.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. True.
So don't cover your eyes.
Yep. Also, don't play those games in your apartment by yourself late at night like I do. And you're like, yeah, that's just asking for a recipe for disaster.
Is that why I see you in the morning sometimes? And I'm like, Mikey, why are you drinking so much coffee?
Ah, too much amnesia.
I couldn't sleep last night.
I play those. That's what I do. I play them to sort of test myself and get the, like you guys are doing, to sort of see what's what and what people are playing. But I get about 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, no.
Speaking of what people are playing, what's the new hotness from our little, I would call you more expert gamers than we are because you're more into the thick of it.
I mean, it's kind of always changing. Baldur's Gate is probably came out a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly, but you know, there's still a lot of kind of hype around that. That's one that we actually just started playing a couple weeks ago ourselves.
There you go.
Which I don't know if you guys know much about Baldur's Gate 3, but you can play it cooperative as well, which is kind of the draw for us. Mm. You know, and it's has definitely some like D&D aspects to it, right? When you're in conversations with NPCs, you have to roll to, you know, see if you what happens basically. Yep. With mm-hmm. So, which is probably as close to D&D that we're ever going to get.
Fair enough.
But it's fun. It's a, you know, and it's been an interesting story so far. You pick your class and spells and all kinds of fun, crazy stuff. So
is this sort of your first foray into that style of like RPG gaming, or have you guys done like Skyrim and stuff, or is this sort of like
RPG gaming? We've done a lot of that.
Okay.
I mean, like World of Warcraft, like I mentioned before, Lost Ark is another one that's kind of similar. The, you know, Diablo games have RPG elements as well. But Baldur's Gate being turn-based, that's a lot different. There's not a whole lot of turn-based games anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's got to be fast-paced.
Kind of like is it like Knights of the Old Republic type turn-based stuff?
I've never played that one.
Oh, wow.
To me, it kind of reminds me of like Ark the Lad. I don't know if you ever played any of those games, but like basically when you enter combat, you can move so far, and then your abilities have like, you know, different ranges and cones different AoEs that you can use to try and hit enemies with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and that's kind of how it's turn-based. Yeah. You're kind of moving around the battlefield.
It's like, that's mm-hmm. like Knights of the Old Republic. You should play that. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You buy a Star Wars nerd? No, I'm just kidding. It is very good.
I know. I'm a fast Star Wars. I think it's the best Star Wars game that was ever made. But
no, Baldur's Gate is the hot new thing at the moment. It does look very fun. Well, that's the current game. And how are the kids doing currently? They're all well?
Yeah, they're good. They actually just both had birthdays last month. So
oh, wow.
They're coming off of that high in excitement.
The sugar high.
You managed to have kids who are born in the same month without having to be twins?
And one day apart.
What?
Their birthdays are one day apart.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, 2 years and one day apart.
How'd you do that?
You know, we're just like, it's that time of the year. Let's make another kid. No, it just kind of happened to, you know, their due dates were exactly the same. And, you know, at the end of the day, they just happened to be born one day apart from their birthdays.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
That'll be fun. So they're close enough together. You said 2 years apart, you said?
Yeah, two years. Yeah. Oh. So at this point, we're still able to get away with celebrating, you know, just once. combined birthday. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we can only get away with that for so long.
Nah. You're in charge until they're 18. So, you know.
You want one shared birthday or no birthdays at all?
Yes. 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 That's the parent part right there.
And if you want a different birthday, you can turn 19 and do whatever you want.
Yep.
That's hilarious. What's next on the podcast or next on the streaming agenda? Do you guys have something, speaking of calendars and birthdays and events coming up, is there anything you guys are planning on or working towards, or what's on the brain?
Yeah, so we are actually currently on something of a hiatus with our podcast, where I was changing jobs, not careers necessarily, and life was a little bit hectic. Yeah. Joanne's computer broke around the same time, which kind of messed up our streaming, of course, and we didn't want to kind of dig deep into our podcast to go buy another computer yet, so we kind of put things on pause and kind of let us sort those things out. So we've been on a 5-month break so far, but we are close to coming back.
Nice.
So hopefully in the next few weeks we'll be ready to record more episodes. And so that's really the next thing is going to be our return to podcasting.
Perfect. That's awesome.
Oh, perfect timing.
And that topic, like finances with gaming and being a parent, I know it's stressful, but talking about it always helps. So maybe just complaining about it on microphones, being like, why do they make games so expensive? They're so fun. Make things cheaper. It's $60 for a piece of plastic. Still, it was $60 when I was teeny tiny. Sorry, I'm getting on an angry tangent right
That's
now.
That's good though that the price hasn't gone up too much. It could be more.
I say cheaper. Now they're trying to charge me for all my costumes and everything. They're going the wrong way.
You don't know the pain. None of you guys are also young. You don't know the pain of having to install a PC game with a bunch of floppy disks. That took hours. That took forever.
And then it was a Commodore 64. You had to input the code for it.
Yeah, that you could do that, or a Trash 80. I had the Trash 80, the Radio Shack 80, TRS 80. The thing was literally called the Radio Shack, TRS. Let's call it the Radio Shack. You want a dumb name? There's your dumb name. Dumb name of the day. Not Twitch.
Radio Shack. For a console.
The Radio Shack. TRS-80. Yep. Used to be able to run stuff on cassette tapes. Get off my lawn! let everybody know where they can find all your stuff.
Yeah, so we can be found in a few places. One would be on YouTube, where we have all of our podcast episodes, as well as some older streams when we used to stream on YouTube. But we're just under Gamer Parents Podcast over on YouTube.
Awesome.
We are also over on Twitter, or I guess X now. our handle there is Gamer Parents Pod.
Gamer Parents Pod, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Instagram at gamer_parents_podcasts.
Ah.
So Joanne manages our Instagram, whereas I kind of do Twitter. So it's a different feel between the two of those, kind of different types of content. Joanne also likes to cook a lot. And like I said, we're fans of World of Warcraft. So she has a World of Warcraft cookbook that she'll cook the recipes from the game.
Oh, wow.
And, share pictures and everything and the recipes on our Instagram as well. So I think she's had some fun doing that. I've enjoyed eating the food.
that is the better end of the deal for sure.
Yeah, I get the better end of the deal for sure. And so definitely some really good recipes over there.
Has there been any standouts for the food?
Oh, like, yeah.
Has
it been glad favorite? You asked.
Yeah.
I'd say probably my two favorites. One was a banana bread.
Yep.
And part of the recipe comes with how to make like the spread for it, which is mostly like
cream cheese
and butter, maybe? What was it?
And sugar.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was really
cream
good.
Cheese, butter, and sugar.
The spread is kind of what made it. Yeah. Yeah. But great banana bread. There is also a recipe for deviled eggs, which they call them fell eggs, which fell is I know it's in World of Warcraft. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but it's basically like a green.
Isn't it
so
like
I mean, basically anything green, right?
Yeah.
So with those deviled eggs, you used, what was it?
Avocado and wasabi.
Oh, wow.
To make it green. So it has a kind of a kick to it. And then some kind of like dried
prosciutto,
ooh,
which I can't pronounce. So so those are my two favorite recipes that she's gone through so far. She's almost cooked her way through that whole book. But
that's such a fun idea. That's great.
There's probably other gaming related cookbooks out there too.
Yes. Oh, there are. I think there's like one. I feel like there's one for like Lord of the Rings and maybe even Star Wars.
There's
I don't know.
Star Wars one. And then I've seen WWE.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
wrestling, and then Ninja Turtles.
I'd imagine that the Ninja Turtles cookbook is one page long and it just says make a pizza.
Pizza. Yeah. Cheese, so obviously sauce, has her list of cookbooks to go through, but yeah. Something that she gets to enjoy and I like to eat the food, so I get a benefit from.
Oh, that's such a fun land. That's great.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, guys. We really appreciate you coming to talk to us on our podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for bringing us on. It's been fun.
Keep in touch. Don't be strangers. We also want to thank that guy, Brad, for doing our announcing, Nascot Productions for our equipment, and Jazzar for our music. If you want to follow us, you can follow us at Assuming Pod on Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever it's called now, Instagram, Threads. Just look for at Assuming Pod. You can also send us a Gmail, assumingpositions@gmail.com. Now, every week I usually ask Mikey how you want the Gmail formatted, but there's guests over here. So I'm going to ask them, how do you want them to format the Gmail that they send to us? Like, for an example, we've done things like a Telegram style, you know, like, hey.
Or silly things like a smoke signal or send the old, what was it, the ransom note, cut up letters. Yeah. Like, silly, if they're sending their hot takes, what would be a silly way for us to receive it?
Or, I mean, I think the ransom letter idea was kind of cool.
There you go.
I like that.
I like it. Or for the cooking, you can send us a recipe for your hot take.
Oh.
That way we can get Joanne on board. You got to add 2 scoops of co-op, and you got to add 1. Or I love this co-op game because it had, you know, whatever. Have some fun with it.
Oh, so we want to thank our Positrons for being awesome. They're the best fans we could have in the whole wide world. If you like what we're doing here and want to support us, you can send us a coffee, buymeacoffee.com/assumingpod.
That's the same.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you, guys.
And we will see you guys next week.
Have fun gaming.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.